Up here,
yep.
All right, Ben, go for it.
All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
You are Ben Alderman.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in a lounge chair at CrossFit Anywhere.
That's a lawn chair.
Lawn chair, excuse me.
But it's pretty comfortable.
It barely fits my backside.
Yeah. Well, if you're Ben Alderman, that makes me Blair Morrison. We are joined today by Hannah Caldas. Welcome, Hannah.
Hi, thank you.
Hannah is also known as Anna.
Yep.
Depending on which regional you see her in. She is a 4-times regional athlete in 3 separate regions, the Southwest, Latin America, and most recently the California Super Regional. So she's an accomplished CrossFit athlete. She's also a member of the Baltimore Anthem Grid League team.
Yep.
And she qualified for the Olympic trials as a swimmer.
A freestyler
for the Portuguese swim team. So this chick is a lot more than just heavy weights.
And I'm old.
And she's old. That's right. She's a master.
She's old.
She's almost a master.
38. So by some competitions, that's a master for sure. Do you feel old, Hannah?
I do feel old at the moment, unfortunately.
Why is that?
I think a lot of wear and tear on my body. I've demanded a lot from it recently, so I'm paying the price for it.
Yeah, so tell our listeners kind of what you've been going through physically. I know you're rehabbing some stuff. Let's kind of let them in on what's going on.
So I had quite a few shoulder issues that were undiagnosed, and then I had the chance to do all kinds of medical tests on it and find out what was going on and explained a lot of what I was feeling. So I have tears in the supraspinatus, the bicep tendon, and I have a grade 2 lesion, a slap lesion, which is a labrum tear.
This podcast knows something about labrum tears.
Yeah, that's like a everyday thing right around here, it seems like. But especially for me, I mean, I had the exact same thing. Some damage to my supraspinatus, the bicep tendon. They weren't sure when they went in for, because I've had surgery on mine. They weren't sure if they were going to have to relocate the attachment point of my bicep tendon, right? So basically cut it away from the labrum and reattach it somewhere else lower to put less pressure on it is kind of what I gathered. But turns out that my supraspinatus kind of healed before surgery because I had it for a year trying to get by, which is, I'm assuming, is probably something similar to what you'll do, is get by as long as you can, and then eventually you might realize you're gonna have to get something done.
Right. You know? Yeah, I actually had a surgical plan from a doctor in Brazil, and he wanted to do exactly that. He wanted to reattach my bicep tendon to the humerus, which meant I was going to lose supination, which is not a possibility for me, especially because I intend to be a master's athlete. So I want to continue to be able to do things. So I've had a couple companies step up and help me with my recovery, and so far, so good.
That's really good. I know for me, when they were talking about reattaching my bicep tendon, I was like about as upset as I could be. You know, he's like, hey, I won't know anything until I actually get in there. I'm like, hey, listen, bro, like you can fix anything that is wrong, but you cannot move things around. You know what I mean? Like moving things around does not seem okay with me. Like I was designed a certain way, and I think that my body should kind of remain that way. You know,
yeah,
like,
totally agree.
Maybe,
man,
if we could just move your arm from where it's at, you know, it's like, I mean, at what point do you just like say like, no, you can't do that. You know? So for me, I just had the anchors put in to the labrum. Nothing was done to the rotator of any kind, and nothing was done to the bicep tendon. When he actually got in there, the bicep tendon was healthier than he thought it would be. It's probably because I got similar things done. Like I was doing certain amounts of body work and recovery and therapies that just made it, you know, that much better.
Right. So, yep. So I hope I'm as lucky as you.
I'm sure you will be. Just keep rehabbing like you've been doing. I saw some of the stuff you were doing in here. It was the exact same things I was doing.
So Hannah, one of the reasons that we wanted to bring you on the podcast today was because you do travel quite a bit, right?
Yes.
So you are, I mean, you travel more than I do, which everybody thinks I travel like all the time, but compared to you, I am a homebody. And you just recently went on a trip to Brazil as part of a bigger trip. And you attended you didn't even attend. You were a lecturer at a seminar, correct?
Right. Yeah. So I was invited by a magazine called CF Magazine, and in Portuguese it stands for Condicionamento Físico, which is physical conditioning magazine. A lot of people confuse it with CrossFit, although CrossFit is involved in it or part of physical conditioning. So that magazine put up a debate, and they invited multiple professionals from the physical conditioning realm. There were coaches, CrossFit coaches. There were athletes. There were chiropractors, nutritionists, everything you can imagine.
Right, it's a pretty well-rounded group.
Very well-rounded group. And each person had about 30 minutes to talk about the work they do, what they're involved with. People would ask a few questions right after. And then at the end, it was an actual debate. So the panel was sitting right in the middle of the stage, and everyone would just jump in and challenge each other as much as possible. It was pretty interesting.
So what were you there representing?
So I was invited to go and present the NPGL League, Grid League, explain the rules, really what it is, how it's different from CrossFit, and, you know, kind of it's a new sport, and people in Brazil really weren't aware of the specifics of Grid.
Right on. And you had 30 minutes to do that?
I had 30 minutes to do that. I was the last speaker.
Just brought it home strong.
So they just want you to go over like the difference in terms of like how you guys compete and like the rules and things like that, the strategies, or?
Yeah, so a little bit of everything. So we tried to keep, I had the assistance from the league to prepare my presentation. Obviously, I had to be approved by the league to be able to do that. But a lot of it was how a team comes together. You know, how do we form a team? Because it is a professional team. A lot of people were curious whether or not we actually got paid, and we do.
Yeah, I find that very interesting also. Yeah. I always want to know if you guys are getting paid or not.
Yeah, so I never had a problem with payment. I've heard stories before, but I never had an issue. You know, that kind of thing. And so every grid match is made up of 12 races, and explaining, because every race one is the same format. It changes the movement. So we explained, or I explained, how each race is run and what happens in each race, and you know how we fit everything within a two-hour period, and how results can be challenged, and what happens if they're challenged wrongly, and you know all those little nuances that Grid has. Also, the judging aspect was something they were very curious about. They have a lot of issues with judging competitions in Brazil.
In Brazil?
Yes. Well, I think that's a problem everywhere. It's very hard to have judges that are 100% impartial, and you're human, you know. When you're trying to make a decision on the spot, a lot of times you might not be making the right decision, and that's okay. It's just a lot of people can't accept that.
Yeah, do we see that all the time in professional sports on TV too? Like there's every Monday morning there's some sort of call that was made or not made on the NFL fields, and they're just debating it over and over again on talk radio.
Well, I think that's like even more so. That I mean, that does happen because they're under such scrutiny, right? Like in the media, right? You have like a football game is watched by millions of people, right? Firsthand, there's people there by the thousands. But at least those referees are getting paid, you know, pretty well. Like that's their income, right? Where like at a CrossFit competition, I have no idea how it works at Grid. I know some Grid judges are not paid. They're there as volunteers. I have no idea if there are some that are paid. I don't know.
Right. So as far as I know, all the referees that are working at our season matches, they're all paid.
Gotcha.
As well as the staff that puts the equipment together. So as far as I'm aware, everyone is paid a salary. How much that is, I'm not sure. I think we all get paid different things, even as athletes.
Right.
That's not my phone.
It's no big deal. So the I think that maybe just trying to solidify the referee or the judge's situation might be mitigated a little bit by people being paid, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily a major point, but I think that's
I think what it goes to is that the expectation of young sports and fans is that they are kind of sanctioned or regulated in a fair way. So if you don't have the ability to pay your employees or your referees, like how are you going to kind of enforce standards?
Yeah,
right?
Good quality of service,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
And that's like, you know, it's understandable. Hey, Grid's new. CrossFit is still relatively young. You know, you're going to have issues with human error and things like that. So long as the spectator can look at the governing body and say, hey, they're doing everything they can to make sure that what's going on in the field is, you know, level. Like,
right.
It's like relatively standardized, relatively, you know, regulated so that all athletes are getting a fair shake. I think everybody will be happy with that.
So I think the most, we were talking a little bit off the air, the most intriguing part of this conference wasn't necessarily your presentation. It was another one that you actually
heard about. I got to listen to. So I had received the program for the debate about a week or two in advance, and I noticed that one of the presentations was on hormone replacement therapy, which was very curious because that is it's a pretty hot topic. Especially now with the weightlifting world championships and all kinds of different people coming up positive for different drugs.
Right.
But hormone replacement therapy in sports is usually considered doping, right? So it's a very controversial issue. I think that person was invited for the controversy part.
Right.
You know, it was a debate. They kind of wanted to make it kind of epic and get people to argue. Obviously, you're going to have people that are for and people that
what's
are
a hotter against. Topic than steroids, right, in sports?
Steroids and sports.
Steroids and sports,
yeah. So I was very interested to hear what this this person was going to talk about. And this person was a doctor, so an MD. So he had credentials to talk about it. So I was pretty disappointed with what he did present. So, you know, hormone replacement therapy is something that is done in everyday life. A lot of people have deficiency in of different hormones, and they resort to doctors to get that normalized, and that's okay. It's not illegal. It's something that's done every day. There's clinics for it.
Right. You see commercials all the time for male hormone replacement therapy, testosterone right. replacement, because, you know, men lose testosterone as they age. So you see, it's definitely a common thing. But like you said, in athletes, it's
a
no-no.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why is it not okay? I mean, it's not me that says it's not okay. It's not you that says it's not okay. It's the organizing body for that sport. It says, if you want to participate in our sport, you are going to sign this document that says you're not going to use any of those specific drugs, compounds, whatever they may be. And so that's where I have a problem. You know, it's not to say that do I have a problem with steroids? You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that if you say that you're not going to resort to that kind of stuff, and then you end up doing, then you're in conflict with what you have.
Right. So you're saying you don't necessarily have like a moral issue against it one way or the other.
Right.
What you're saying is, your position doesn't really matter, because if you decide you're going to compete in CrossFit or grid or weightlifting or football or whatever, and you sign a I'm not going to use drugs agreement, and then you use drugs, it doesn't really matter your moral issue. You broke a rule.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So that was my
main
point.
Was that what this doctor was advocating?
Not at all. So it was very interesting what he presented. So the first statement that he made was that and others have proved that CrossFit as a sport lowers testosterone in young adult males.
Just males?
Just males.
Okay.
I don't know if the study did not include females, but all the data that he presented was males only.
And it was pretty compelling data?
It was very compelling data.
Yeah.
Just like I think every time someone uses a steroid, it's pretty compelling that it's going to work for them
yeah.
if they work hard.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, yeah, it's compelling, but in my opinion, still wrong, right?
Right.
So he used a few examples, most notably three athletes that are very well known in the Brazil CrossFit field. I believe two of them have competed at regionals. Out of the three that were presented, those two competed at regionals this year.
In the Southwest region?
South region, yeah, whatever that super region is called now, I'm not too sure.
Just out of curiosity, did you know those athletes?
I know two of those athletes personally.
Yeah.
I know of all of them. I've heard.
You know who all three of them are, but you know two of them personally.
Yes.
Do we know who they are?
I'm not sure you would know who they are.
All right.
They do make it to regionals, but it's one of those things. People that come from Latin
America. You just want to say you know somebody who does steroids.
I want to know. Yeah, I want to be able to say that I concretely know somebody in CrossFit that does steroids.
Right.
Because, I mean, I assume that there are people doing steroids, but I don't actually know anybody that does them. Right. So I'd like to know somebody that does them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that there's a lot of people that I think they might be doing steroids, but I'm not sure. But for these three people, now I know for sure they have done.
Right. He's their doctor. Something. And he is very proud to say that he was their doctor.
Yeah. So the what he was advocating was testosterone gel. That according to him, the application of that gel on the skin, so transdermal application over a specific period of time, would increase the testosterone levels for that person in what he considered to be within the range of a healthy adult male, right? So in his view, he's not doing anything wrong because he's not giving them any more than what a normal person, or, you know, normal parameters for testosterone would be.
Right, restoring them back to like a normal range of their age group, right?
Right, right. So that was their claim. Although, based on the numbers that he presented, he was at the top end of that range. So he's basically taking them to the maximum allowed for a male of that age.
Right, and that's a lot of times how testing protocols are monitored, right? They'll do a urine analysis for the age group, you know, that subset of age group of adult males or females, and measure whether or not the testosterone is within the normal accepted range.
Right. Right. I believe that also when they do the test, there's a TE ratio, which is a testosterone to epitestosterone ratio. So that a lot of times will tell you if there's exogenous testosterone being put in the body. Now, interestingly, the approach this doctor has chosen to use kind of bypasses that. And he explained why. It does that by using bioidentical testosterone. So it's testosterone that's exactly the same as what your bodies have, right? What normal human males have. So that testosterone is not going to be, even though it is synthetic, it's not going to look any different in a test. So in a TE test, it won't really show up. So it will go onto your total testosterone levels.
So essentially he's administering it in a way that will not be noticed on a test.
Correct. So it will be undetectable according to the majority of testing performed.
All right. So I know you told us off the air, you tried to call him on this and say, you know, I have a problem with this. You're trying to get around the rules of sport by saying this is what a normal male should have anyways. It's more therapeutic than anything else. How did he respond to that?
Yes, it was very interesting. He was very defensive of his work. That was the major thing for him.
Probably because that's his money, right?
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably because that's his money. Like, this is reality, right? If you prove him wrong, then he's got to make no money.
I bet. And I think he's in an audience of mostly coaches and athletes, and he's advocating for something that is going to make an athlete be a lot better, not test positive for anything. And according to him, it's okay. So I had to call him out and say, number one, this is not okay. So the first line of defense was, this is a person that has a therapeutic need for testosterone. And so as a
result of CrossFit lowering his natural testosterone,
right?
Which, just as a quick aside, yeah, for sure. If you're training so much, you're going to have elevated cortisol, and the symptoms of overtraining is lowered testosterone, right? That's like that's your body telling you, okay, you've trained enough.
Yeah.
So if you replace that and you can just keep on training, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah. Hello. That's why it's not permitted, right?
Right.
Unfair advantage would be, my thing.
Right. I see that totally.
Yeah. So his defense is that as a doctor, he cannot deny that to a patient. He's looking at the person as a patient, number one, and they're an athlete, number two. So that at that point, I challenge him saying, actually, I asked him if he was aware of the rules of CrossFit. Since he was talking about CrossFit athletes, it didn't really matter about other sports, even though I'm familiar with some of the other sports rules also. Swimming, it's a sport I did in the past. But are you aware with the rules of CrossFit? Which he responded to, yes. And then I told him, or I asked him, if he was aware that within the rules for the drug program for CrossFit, it states that regardless of whether the athlete has a therapeutic requirement of hormone replacement, if the athlete opts for undergoing hormone replacement, they are ineligible to compete in the
Open. Right, that's in the rules.
Right. Yeah. It's ineligible to compete in the Open, anything that's CrossFit Inc. Sanctioned, right? So at this point, I said, so if you have an athlete that does have this kind of need for hormone replacement, and there's no other way he's going to have to do it, then I would suggest that your athlete not participate in these sanctioned events.
Right, take a year off.
Right. So I asked, did these three athletes participate in the Open? Because these tests or this protocol, this therapeutic protocol, was performed in 2015. So my question was, did these athletes participate in the Open in 2015? Which he answered yes. And so as far as I'm concerned, as the way I view it, is these athletes broke the agreement that they made with CrossFit, because when they signed up for the Open in 2015, they signed that they would not use any of these substances between the time that they signed, which will be different for the majority of people. And that's something that now has changed with CrossFit, and we can talk about that, until the last year of 2015, which would be December 31st. So he immediately says, oh, but we did it in the off season.
Right. But CrossFit, there is no off season.
It's the entire calendar year, right? So he's, right. I think that, you know, one thing is, you know, he's like, oh, we're trying to get, you know, restore these back to normal, healthy levels, right? Or what's a normal, acceptable range. But it seems like if he has an issue with the drug policy, which it sounds like he definitely had like a little bit of an axe to grind, the way to go about that might be to go to CrossFit directly, you know what I mean? Or these sports directly and say, hey, you know what? Let's take care of our athletes. Let's allow them to be tested. And as long as they fall within those normal ranges, you know, whether that be through they just naturally are able to maintain that higher testosterone level, or if they have to do it through therapeutic means, let's allow that, you know, or, and I'm not saying that's good or bad.
It's just because he knows the answer is going to be no.
Well, yeah, the answer is going to be no. Exactly.
Like the more you train, the lower your hormones are going to, your testosterone is going to get.
Right.
And that's the cost of training hard, right?
Right.
You can't just continue to train that hard all the time.
Yeah.
I actually speculate that this might be a sensitive issue with CrossFit, because I read the rule book every year. So I like to read everything, you know, even the stuff that doesn't pertain to me. And one of the things I noticed a change this year was that the hormone replacement section is now presented in bold letters.
Oh, really?
So my guess is that it has been an issue in the past. Maybe they have had requests from other people, because we can submit TUE forms, therapeutic use exemption forms. If you are prescribed some type of medication that is on the list of not allowed, but you might need it for one reason or another. And those are usually taken in consideration and then accepted or rejected. For example, in my case, I use two asthma inhalers, and both of them need a TUE form at the beginning of the year before I can
Right, because there's some sort of a steroid in the inhaler.
They are steroid inhalers, right? They don't necessarily confer me any advantage. It just allows me to breathe.
Right, if you start to collapse your lungs.
Right. So my guess is that there might have been athletes that have requested to use some kind of testosterone product.
There's got to be a lot of those types of requests in the master's divisions. I mean, especially as the masters athletes start training more and more and more. I mean, those guys, I mean, if you're a male, you know, 45, 50, 55 years old, your testosterone is way lower, and you might be getting prescribed, you know, hormone replacement on a regular basis,
right,
whether you're doing CrossFit or not.
Right.
So I could see that as being a petition that CrossFit would be
hearing. But again, it's one of those things. They are divided into age groups for that specific reason.
Yeah, for that reason.
So either all of the athletes in that category request that or are allowed to do that, or none of them. So it's really about making the sport fair so that everybody is at the same level. You know, it's not that they shouldn't do that because it's bad for them. It literally confers them an advantage versus someone that is not doing the same hormone replacement.
Did this doctor talk at all about the cost of something like this?
No cost was mentioned.
No.
But as with everything, I would think anything in Brazil is a lot more affordable based on a number of things. I usually get my medication either from Brazil or Portugal.
Right. So this is something that you can speak to because, you know, you've only recently become a full U.S. citizen,
yes.
Which, you know, kudos to you.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
And so your healthcare has been kind of spread all over the world. So you would see doctors in, you know,
mostly Portugal.
Portugal or Brazil, or I know you saw a doctor in Italy.
Italy also,
for
yeah.
like a surgeon over there.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, that's where it's available.
Yep. More affordable too.
And more affordable.
To my pocket.
Yeah. So one of the biggest, I would say, you know, impediments to people in the U.S. using growth hormone or steroids or hormone replacement is the cost. It's very expensive to have this medically administered in the U.S.
Right.
Mark Bell was on our podcast and he talked about that, you know, certain types of steroids are very easy to access. Others are not. And this type of gel, I don't think is that easy to access in the States, at least not with a doctor's administration and blood testing. Right. But if you're in a country like Brazil or, I don't know, the Middle East or some other places that you've been, talk about the accessibility there and, you know, how that differs from what's available here in the States.
Right. Well, my perception of Brazil especially is that everything is very widely available. I am not aware of costs because I've never been interested in getting any of it. But it seems that anyone can get anything they want. And for that reason, I assume it must not be that pricey.
Right. It must not be that expensive.
Yeah. I visited Kuwait almost a year ago. I think a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did notice also that everything was very available there. And at one point, actually, even at the airport, I got asked by people if I wanted growth hormone.
At the airport?
At the airport.
Like a random person.
Random just
person.
Walks up to you and says...
No, this was actually someone in immigration. One of the... With
the workers?
One of the guards. Yeah. I don't know if it was a test or if it was just okay. But when I asked people afterwards, they told me, oh, that's just very natural because it's okay here. Because I'm not sure... I'm bigger than
so
most
he's looking
women.
At you and saying, okay, here's an athlete of some sort,
right? Yep. Usually the question is, are you a bodybuilder? And sometimes it's too complicated to answer that I'm a CrossFitter because a lot of people don't know, especially in those countries. They don't know what CrossFit is, and it takes, you know, after flying 32 hours, I'm not in the mood to explain what CrossFit is. So I'll just go ahead and say, yes, I'm a bodybuilder. I lift weight, yes.
How often do people ask you that, Blair?
If I'm a bodybuilder?
Yeah.
Not that often. So shockingly.
Shockingly enough, I actually don't get that question very often either.
I do a lot, unfortunately. I don't know what that
so
that
you're
says,
in immigration in Kuwait, and this guy says, hey, are you a bodybuilder? Do you want growth hormone?
He starts talking about, you know, what do you do? What do you take? Do you take protein? So obviously starts with the thing, whey. It's like, yeah, I take whey. What else? What else? Do you take any of the good stuff? Well, good stuff. And then he started naming several drugs.
Stuff that he's taking.
stuff that he's taking. And then he mentioned growth hormone. And he's like, I hear it's really expensive outside. I had my Portuguese passport, but I had my U.S. green card. So he knew I lived in the U.S.
Mm.
So he asked if I was interested in getting some because it's cheaper. I was not interested.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're probably one of the more tested CrossFit athletes that I know, at least. I mean, you're always getting hassled by CrossFit HQ about knowing your whereabouts so that you could be tested. Because, like, the new testing program is year-round. It's not just – there's the testing that's mandatory after you qualify for the games,
right?
The top five or six finishers at the regionals.
I think it was.
Yeah. But now you're also signing a contract that agrees to random testing throughout the year.
Right.
And we say random in air quotes because certain people are definitely getting tested more consistently than others.
Yes,
and you are one of those people, correct?
I am, yeah. I don't know if fortunately or unfortunately. I kind of take it as a compliment, you know, because I've never made the game, so I'm not really a big-time athlete. Yet I'm on this program, so I think it's an honor.
Yeah, I think anybody will look at you and say, okay, that's a big, strong girl,
yeah.
Right? She can move a lot of weight. They see your numbers. They see your Instagram. And it could be just as simple as that. It's like
right.
They want to make sure that these impressive numbers are legitimate.
Right.
So, okay, I'm going to just back it up a little bit because
Before you do.
Okay.
Before you do.
Yep.
So, Hannah, just being that you have this experience with the testing program that CrossFit's running, you know, how does that kind of color your evaluation of kind of what you heard in Brazil, what you've kind of experienced in these different countries? Like, you know, CrossFit seems to be doing all that they can to, you know, prevent the unleveling of the playing field via doping. But, I mean, is it the type of thing that, is it as simple as just going to another country and then avoiding this testing protocol?
Right. That's a very good point. Obviously, I don't know who else is on the program. So I can't just assume that all the people that should be getting tested are getting tested. Clearly, a lot of people are still, you know, slipping through the cracks. But it's great that CrossFit does have a program. I think that it's a program that it is effective. For the people that they do test, for the people, you know, that they follow through, you know, anyone that is on at the same level of program that I am, I would think would be impossible to be taking something. I keep hearing people talk all the time, oh, it's so easy to beat the test. It's like, I don't know, if I had to beat a test, I don't know how I would do it because I don't know when I'm going to be tested. The last time I got tested, the agent showed up here at the gym where we are right now. I had maybe a 2-hour window. So if someone can beat a test in a 2-hour window, I'd be very curious to know, just, you know, I was a scientist before, so I'd be very curious what kind of process they can do for someone that, you know, is doing a steroid cycle of some sort that is something that happens every day, I would assume, or
right.
Whatever they're doing, I don't know, that they could get rid of everything that's going to be tested in this random test outside of a competition, and you don't know when it's going to happen. So I would say that anyone that is in the same situation as me would be, I think, 99.99999%, just not to say 100% impossible to be taking something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to go back to a little bit was you said you feel like, or at least Blair said he feels like you're one of the more kind of watched athletes, at least on CrossFit's radar. You know, you haven't made the games, you know, but you're being sent all the, you know, forms and whatnot to make sure that they know where you're at and, you know, where you're going to be. But you think maybe that's also in part just due to the fact that you travel a lot, or do you think that might be part of a new policy? Because I know for me, I have heard that one of the higher ups in CrossFit suspected that I used steroids when I was training with Mark Bell, and he actually told Mark Bell that he kind of thought, you know, or at least he was like, hey, what are you giving those guys? You know, kind of conversation back and forth. And so now I get those emails on a regular basis, or is everyone getting those? You know what I mean? Like, are all of us, is anybody who's making regionals and who's got a chance and knocking at the door at the games, are we all getting those now? You know,
I'm not getting those emails.
You're not getting those?
Yeah.
No.
And I know a few other people. I was just curious. This is my second year on the program.
Actually really, really good to know because I'm getting them too, you know, and I thought just all of us were getting them.
No.
But if you're getting them and I'm getting them and we're
so yeah,
two
this
of the
is my second year. So
there.
You got it from the previous year also.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know if you noticed there was a change from last year. It was last year. We started on the list as of the date we signed up for the Open. And this year we're on the list as of January 1st.
Right.
So we have to provide our whereabouts in a quarterly form. Mm-hmm. So right now we have until December 31st to provide our whereabouts from January 1st through March 31st of 2016. Which, you know, to be honest, is a hassle for someone who travels a lot like me, you know.
Right.
During that period, I have two major trips. I have a trip in January where I'm going to be in six different countries, and I have to provide them addresses and phone numbers and email addresses where I can be contacted in that country, you know, where I can understand having to provide information, but almost borderlines an invasion of privacy. It's like I can't have a trip. What if it's a secret trip, nothing to do with CrossFit, but I just kind of want to get away from the world for a little bit. I'm not allowed to do that, which, you know, from swimming again, I've been through that before. It's okay. But for someone who hasn't and it's their first time, it could be pretty daunting.
Yeah, no kidding. And lucky for me, I have four kids. I'm just basically locked down.
I was just going to say, man, yeah. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I'm going to Miami, but everybody's coming, and I actually put that in my little quarterly report. I didn't realize we had to report that quarterly because I'm one of those guys who doesn't read anything. So I'm like, oh, CrossFit wants some information. Let's see what they want. And then I filled it out a second time, and I'm like, what is going on here? Like, they really want to know where I'm at. Why don't they just come test me already so that way I could be done with this, because I was getting kind of annoyed, you know? Does anybody else kind of question your, you know, because like people see you, like you said, you're a bigger girl, you're stronger, you're way stronger than most girls and a lot of guys. Like, do you get hassled about using steroids or anything like that?
All the time.
From outside of CrossFit?
Yeah. From CrossFit, and you mean outside of CrossFit Inc.
Yeah, outside of CrossFit HQ. Like, are you getting it from normal Instagram followers, people around you?
All the time. I mean, there was a time when I had a clean PR of 305. Which is still my PR today. And I posted it, and quite a few people reposted it. And from experience a while back, I know that whenever someone publishes an article on you or reposts a video, you just should not go and read comments, because it's always bad. You know, if you've done something that's worthy of sharing, it's either going to be because it's really good or because it's really bad. And then you'll always have the haters and the lovers. And it doesn't matter. You could have 500 people saying good job. It takes one person to say something negative, and that's all you're going to remember. So as a general rule, I try not to do that. But there was this one... they happened to comment in Portuguese, which I thought was, I thought it was coward, because they assumed I did not speak Portuguese. So there was a conversation going back.
They didn't
back
know you were from Portugal?
Yeah, they did not know. So it was reposted by someone else. I think at the time it was the first grid team I signed with, Carolina, and they reposted that 305 clean. And there was a conversation going on back and forth in Portuguese on how I looked manly and there's no way I wasn't taking steroids and all that kind of stuff. But I speak Portuguese. So I went and I challenged their comments. And, you know, at that time, I actually had just been tested by CrossFit. I was tested April 22nd, just before regionals. And so I knew for sure. And I had proof, you know, because it's not a lot of times that people will say, well, will you take steroids? And you say, no, I don't. But you really don't have proof. Well, I have a form that says that.
You're clean.
I don't take steroids. Or some people will say, I beat the test. Again, you know, tell me how I can beat a test in a two-hour window. And then, you know, I don't think I still couldn't do it, because it's, you know, it goes against my principle. Like, I signed something that says I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But if I don't sign it, maybe I will.
Right.
You know, but then I won't do the open.
Yeah.
Or regionals or anything like that. You know, I would do it for myself, and that's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious, because I know that, you know, I feel like Instagram is a place where people will just let whatever they think just fly, you know? And so I had to imagine that if you're getting tested by HQ and, you know, you're putting up these kind of numbers, I don't go through and read your comments. I follow you, but I don't read your comments, you know, like people are saying.
If like Miranda gets as much,
yeah, she's 145 pounds or 140 pounds or whatever.
Obviously.
Yeah. She sent me a text the other day and was like, hey, somebody said that something about some medical doctors and whatnot saying that she does it, and she's like, whatever. But yeah, I have no idea.
I would assume she's also tested by CrossFit, so that would be an easy way to refute everybody's claims right. that she does steroids.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the second episode we've had that's kind of centered on this topic. And a lot of the speculation that's out there about CrossFit athletes especially comes from a place of just kind of ambiguity. You just don't know, right? And I'm one of those people. Like, I don't know what it's like to take steroids because I've never done it. I've seen people taking them in my football, you know, my football days. Right. We had a couple guys in the locker room that were taking them.
At Princeton.
They want to go to the NFL too, guy.
Wow.
How that goes.
It's not going to help your freaking math scores or whatever.
Well, it's not going to get you any A's on your test, that's for sure. But like the process of like what goes into it, like people just don't know. So you just look at performance as your only kind of point of analysis and be like, okay, this person is too strong for what a female should be able to do, or right. looks different than the people I see around my office, or, you know, I put in a lot of work. This is the best one, because as an athlete, you know, you're very proud of what you do in training.
Right.
Like, I put in all this work, yet I am not attaining the level that these other people are attaining. It must be because of something else that they're doing. And that's a hard kind of mirror to hold up to yourself if all you're seeing is Instagram pictures of and videos of people doing incredible things, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. And on Instagram, the majority of us only post the incredible things. There's a lot of failure that goes into training. And you know that. I mean...
Yeah, I fail all the time.
I was more talking, you know, you see me fail all the time. But I don't post failures every day. I post the occasional failure, more so now that I have an issue that I'm trying to rehab, you know, and recently I wasn't able to do a handstand push-up, and now I'm proud that I can do one handstand push-up. You know, that's not something an athlete at my level would be very proud of, but right now I'm extremely proud of that, and that might be something that I share. But in general, I don't want people to know that I can't do a handstand push-up right now. You know, it's not something that I would be bragging about.
Right. Diane took you 11 and a half minutes. You're not really proud of that, right?
I'm not going to post that, right?
Yeah, exactly. My running workout today, running multiple 800-meter repeats.
Yeah.
You did pretty good at
that.
You
could post that.
I'm going to post that. No, I'm not posting that. I'll just talk about it on here, talk about how slow I am.
Yeah. So both of you guys are getting watched by, you know, CrossFit HQ. You're having to give quarterly reports of your whereabouts, random testing. Hannah, you were tested this past April. I'm sure you'll be tested again this year.
Do you know how sick our podcast would be the next day after I get tested? Because I'll know exactly what it's like. I'll know the testing protocol. I'll know what I had to do. Like, it would just be so fun to be able to tell everybody who listens to our podcast, like, exactly what happens.
Right.
So I'm, like, asking CrossFit HQ, please come test me. I don't care when. I don't care where.
Well, I can give you a little preview of what it's like.
Yeah. Tell us. What exactly was it like?
So I had a very nice person come in, the agent Elizabeth from the Bay Area. She drove all the way out here to collect my sample, and we went into one of the bathrooms here. She inspected me to make sure that I wasn't wearing anything that I shouldn't be wearing. I guess a lot
the Wizinator.
Yeah.
Like the balloon, right?
Ontario Smith got busted with that at the airport.
Yeah.
They wear like all these weird things. She made me wash my hands just to make sure that I didn't have anything in my hand that might invalidate the test. She had a collection of cups. I had to pick one. They were all sealed. I opened it. She watched me while I went while I peed. Very embarrassing, especially when you can't fill it up to the level that they need. So
keep
we
going.
Ended up,
wait. Keep
yeah,
going.
We were just like chatting for a little bit. It's kind of awkward. Someone I've never met before, and I'm sitting in the toilet holding a cup, trying to fill it up, and we're just trying to have this awkward conversation about kids.
Right. Well, that's come a long way. I was tested in 2011 when I qualified for the games, and it was in a porta potty at the fairgrounds, and it was just like an open door kind of thing. Like they walk you, they keep the door open in a porta potty, but they're not like watching you. They're just like, hey, nothing's going on, right? And you peed there, and that's like pretty
That's
podunk, you know. Yeah. that was the first year I think they actually did testing. So it's nice to see the progression in professionalism.
At the end of a CrossFit competition weekend in a porta potty. That's disgusting.
I know.
Right? I'm definitely thinking that your test came back contaminated.
It was contaminated with something.
Yeah, exactly, bro. I just disinclined to their request at that point.
No thanks. I'm not going to go.
And so CrossFit uses Drug-Free Sport Agency, which is the same one that does NCAA.
Okay.
Probably not the best agency to test in sports, but it's better than no agency.
Right. Well, that was going to be my question. So you guys are on the radar. You're having to go through this program. Now, knowing what we know now from you, Hannah, like that there are doctors out there prescribing. I'm sure this guy in Brazil is not the only guy doing this. Like hormone replacement therapy for CrossFit athletes because, hey, yeah, it lowers your testosterone. That makes sense. Overtraining lowers testosterone. So there are going to be athletes out there that would love to replace that testosterone so that they can continue training at an optimum level. And if there are doctors out there that are willing to do it because from a medical perspective, these are patients that need help and need their expertise, are you guys satisfied with what is being done currently by CrossFit? Are things like this going to be covered, or does more need to be done?
Well, according to that doctor, the tests that CrossFit performs would not catch his athletes. And that's even if they are doing it the day they get tested. So it doesn't matter what kind of window they have. These athletes, as long as their testosterone levels fall within the normal range, they're good to go. And that's a problem. I mean, I think it ends up being a problem of ethic. You know, it talks about ethic of the athlete. I mean, can we question the ethic of the doctor? I tried to question the ethic of the doctor, and his response was, as a doctor, he has a responsibility towards his patient, not towards his athlete. So in a way, I kind of have to agree with
absolve him. Absolve him a little bit of that.
Yeah, but it's still wrong, especially if he knows the athlete is an athlete, and knowing that there's a rule that states that they can't do it. So he's assisting.
Right. Something. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I don't really know too much about the difference between like bioequivalent or whatever steroid use or gel or anything versus regular, you know, the efficacy versus non, you know what I mean? Like I have no idea what that's like. And I can't even really speak to that at all, but I think
well, obviously it's working. The guy presented data.
No, yeah,
on
totally. I definitely
so
think I definitely think it works. And so, but for me, what I think should happen is I feel like at the regional level, I feel like every athlete should be tested that weekend. You know, like I feel like every athlete competing at the regional level should be tested before the actual weekend begins. Right. And then your top five still get tested because I don't really know if there's any kind of benefit if you test clean on Thursday, if you take them on Friday morning, are you going to be better? You know what I mean? But if you test everybody, so you have a baseline, and then on Sunday, you test the top five people just like you normally do.
Yeah.
I feel like that's it's a little bit more of an arduous test. It's a little bit more, I mean, I'm sure it's more difficult for HQ to make sure that happens. But as the sport gets more and more legitimate, I feel like there needs to be a point where it's like, hey, not every single person is randomly drug tested. Every single person who goes to regionals is tested.
Right.
You know?
And then the random procedure can still stay
can
in place
still
as it is.
Yeah,
right?
So more testing, I think, all around is a good thing.
I think that's a good lesson that we just had from the IWF Worlds. You know, I think historically they've only tested the A session.
A what?
The A session.
A session, the heaviest lifters in a weight class, right?
Yeah. And this time they tested, I don't know how many, but an X number from each session. And all of a sudden there's like 30 positive tests at world championships, but mostly from people that knew they were not going to be tested because they were not in the A session.
Did they do that before they began to lift, or was that post like them lifting?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'm kind of curious about that too, because I feel like if they did it beforehand, I feel like that's a good model for CrossFit to follow, you know, just be ahead of the curve in that, you know, just test everybody.
Right. And now there's less regionals than there used to be. So it's an easier process, right? It's mm-hmm. less total athletes.
Definitely easy for us to say for sitting here, but I agree. I feel like that too.
I love saying things from here. It's just in the launch day. It's
Castro,
so much easier.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what you should do from right here. I can give you some programming too for this year's regional if you want it. 16.1 is. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, we're about to get to those episodes where we get to do some predictions.
I know. So, Hannah, for you, you've got all this testing that you have to make sure that you – I'm sorry, these dates that you have to make sure you're available for testing.
Right.
But as you rehab your shoulder and as you try to bounce around and make sure you fall within CrossFit's guidelines, what are you focused on, you know, in order to help best help your team or your individual efforts? What is it that you're trying to do right now?
So the main thing right now is rehab my shoulder. So that's number one. The only way I'll be able to help my team – is if my shoulder is the healthiest it can be. Because when it's not, there are certain movements that I just can't do. So my goal is to be able to perform every movement. I might not be as proficient as I have been, but also this year my aspiration is not to compete as an individual athlete. So I will have teammates to fall back on and hopefully take some of the burden of the things that I can't do, and maybe I can help in other things that I can do.
When you say there's movements you can't do, do you mean like there's literally on some days there's movements that you like can't do one?
Literally, there are movements that I can't do one.
Right. At this point, that would be a huge liability to your team if it was basically two girls had to share the load of all of the X movement.
Right.
Right. So you're trying to rehab that.
That is my goal. So my goal is that because I have no doubts that we'll qualify for regionals, right?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Oh my gosh, more tie-dye just running all over the freaking workout floor.
So much tie-dye.
Progenix, please hook these people up.
So my focus is not necessarily too much the open. You know, there are movements that aggravate my shoulder a little more than others. So if a workout comes that might be heavily favoring one of those movements, I might back off a little bit and have one of my teammates step up for that. So I want to ensure that come our regional date, which right now I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's early May or late
May
April.
8th, I think, or something like that starts.
Yeah, something like that. I want to make sure that come that date, no matter what happens, I will be able to do whatever number of repetitions I need to do as stipulated by CrossFit. So I don't want to be doing things that will prevent or delay my ability to do that.
Yeah, very cool.
Are you intimidated?
You know what? Ben? I look at your guys' team, and I'm not intimidated. I just look at the reality of the situation is you guys have a very strong team. Like, you guys have got three really solid male athletes. You've got at least three really good female athletes. And so, you know, I'm definitely not intimidated. Like, I just look at them and go, man, that's a very strong team. I think you guys would easily be a top 10 team if you have all of your people healthy. So I think that's a really cool thing. And for me,
how good could we be if we were all taking testosterone replacement?
I think if you guys are all taking testosterone replacement, it would be a huge benefit. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you guys want to organize a team trip to Brazil,
yeah,
you know, and I can jump in one of your suitcases, you know,
then we'll contact the doctor.
Yeah. So,
well, all right, Hannah, where can people follow your rehab and your training and see all these haters?
Yeah, mostly on Instagram. It's where I've been posting most of my stuff. It's XFit Hannah, HANNAH. And I'll post some rehab stuff, some stuff that I'm reclaiming, movements.
Nice.
I'm able to do again, and that kind of stuff.
All right, great.
XFit Hannah.
XFit Hannah, good follow.
Yeah, and then you guys can follow us on Instagram at BTB Podcast, as most of you already know and already do. And just so you guys know, we will be heading out to Wadapalooza this year and be talking to a bunch of different athletes there and competing as well. Blair and I are not on the same team this
year. It's a throwdown this year.
It's a throwdown, yeah. And we also have some coffee mugs available for you guys on the CrossFit Anywhere store. And, right? I believe that's the CrossFit Anywhere store.
Yeah, anywherefit.com.
Yep, and you can go to ironmileapparel.com where the coffee mugs are available as well.
They're sick.
They are awesome. If you listen to the show and you drink coffee, you need one.
This is one of the mugs you have to have.
Yeah, and you can buy it from either store. It doesn't matter. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Till next time.
Yeah, that testosterone. popular in Brazil.